The following is a duplicate of tape 1, side 1 of an interview with Victor Sen Yung, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. Today is May 13, 1980. This is Bernice Sam speaking. I'm about to interview a man by the name of Victor Sen Yung. Victor, will you give me your name and address and where you were born and how old are you?
My name is Victor Sen Yung, and my address is 5522 Cahuenga, North Hollywood, California. I was born in San Francisco in the year 1915. San Francisco.
And how were you?
I will be 65 in October.
So in other words, you were born on which day?
1915, October 18th.
Now, something about your parent I would like to know, too. When did your father come to America?
My father came to the United States in 1886, approximately, at the age of 14. And when he arrived here, he worked briefly, several years, as a matter of fact, at the San Rafael Military Academy in Marin County as a kitchen helper.
Who brought him to America at the age of 14?
He came with his older brother, my uncle.
Did he want to come to America then?
Yes, I'm sure he did, because he was quite young then, 14.
But and why did he want to come to America?
His uncle wanted to come, and he came with his older brother. And they thought of the opportunities that were here and the possibility of making a new life.
What kind of life did your father have at home? Was he a very rich family?
No, just average, I think. My grandfather was very well known in Fatsan as a cultivator of goldfish. And he was known for that, but I don't think that was a very lucrative business in those days.
Fatsan, how close is it to Canton?
Oh, that's part of Canton.
I see.
Guangzhou is Canton?
Yes.
Yeah. It's near, closer to Namhoi. Namhoi, Fatsan, the two villages. Punyu.
Then how long did your father stay in America after he came?
He stayed here the rest of his life.
I see.
He made a few trips. He went to the St. Louis World's Fair in 1900 or thereabouts, and he wound up in New York and worked in a restaurant. And he got a job working as a waiter because by then he could speak pretty good English. Then he came back to San Francisco, and he got together with a company called Nanking Fuk Hua and worked there, and then a few years after that, he opened his own company called the Mandarin Importing Company, and he would ply between San Francisco and China to do his buying on his buying trips. Then in 1913, I think it was, he brought my mother over from China, and my sister was then born 1 year after I. But unfortunately, our mother passed away during the influenza epidemic in 1918. But my father continued in the import and export business, the Mandarin Import Company in San Francisco. And he worked until 1929 when the crash came and things were tough. So he joined another company called the City of Hankow Tassel Company just down the street. And he was with them for 15 years, and then he moved over to the China Emporium, which is another import-export operation. So actually, altogether, my father had been on Grand Avenue in the import-export business for almost 60 years.
Then all during that time, you were living in San Francisco then?
Up until the year 1938. I had graduated from college in 1937, and I came down here to Los Angeles, and I got a screen test for the part of the son in the Charlie Chan series. The screen test was successful, so I started making a career in the motion picture business.
And how long did you stay in the motion picture business?
Until the present time.
All right. Now, a little bit more about your father. How many trips did he make to go back to China?
See, I can't say for sure, but I know
but
he must have...
a few times.
He made maybe four or five.
How old was he when he died?
97.
Mm-hmm. Then, when you were young, what did you speak at home, English or Chinese?
No, we spoke English. Because, see, when our mother passed away, my sister and I originally were placed into an American home. It's like a children's home in San Francisco. So we spoke English before we spoke Chinese.
Do you remember the names of those homes?
Well, it was called the San Francisco Chinese, San Francisco Children's Home.
Where was it?
It's out near the Presidio.
How many years did you stay there, Victor?
Well, I must have stayed there maybe 3 years.
3 years. Did you like that place?
Well, I was too young to know.
About how old were you then?
About five and six. Seven. Then I was put into the or placed in the Chung Mei home for Chinese boys in Berkeley, which was run by the Baptist Mission, and I was there for a year, and then I went back to San Francisco from Berkeley, and because I got a job working as a houseboy.
Now, when you were at the Chung Mei home, how did you like it there?
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Were you treated well at
yes.
the Dome home?
Oh, yes.
How big a place was that?
It was the foot of Ashby Avenue. It was a two-story old ramshackle building, a home, I guess, that was reconverted into this dormitory-like building. And naturally, we ate as a group, you know, and they had a wonderful cook. And we lived, the rooms were converted into dormitories, the larger rooms in the building. And we went to grammar school just down the street. It could have been more than a quarter of a mile at the Hawthorne Grammar School.
How many boys were living at that home then?
There were about 50 boys, ranging in age from, say, 6 years old till about 18, 19.
Do you remember the name of the head of that home?
Dr. Shepherd, Dr. Charles R. Shepherd.
So, then from there you went to elementary school close by.
Yes,
and how long did you stay in elementary school?
I was at Chung Mei for a year and a half, and then I went back to San Francisco and I enrolled at the Commodore Stockton School.
What
kind
of school is that, Victor?
Grammar school.
I see. What is it?
It's on Washington Street in Chinatown between Powell and Stockton.
And what kind of students went to that
school? They were all Chinese. I would say American-born or students from China, but it was 100% Chinese.
And how about the teachers? Were they
there
Chinese?
They were all Caucasian teachers, except later on Alice Fong Yu was assigned there as a teacher, and she became the first, I think, to my understanding, the first Chinese teacher in the public school system in San Francisco. She was sort of a pioneer.
What was the most important thing that you remember when you were staying at the Chung Mei home? Something that impressed you the most, that one thing?
Discipline. The place was run like a military academy, and also fellowship with the boys, because I had no other brothers. And the fights, of course, naturally, the little things, arguments that become more... bring you actually closer as you grow older. And the thing that really, to me, was the best fun of all was our summer camp when we went up to Sebastopol to pick loganberries. And we went up there in trucks, and we lived in this open area where they pitched tents, and we dammed up the little creek and had our own little swimming hole. And the older boys were able to pick fruit, so they picked peaches. They were taller, But the little boys like me, who were at that time was only 10 years old, we picked these loganberries. We got 6 cents a tray, and the trays, well, actually it was like a penny a pound.
So usually in one day, how much money were you able to make?
Oh, see, I go by the number of, on a good day, I would pick maybe 10 trays. So that's 60 cents.
60 cents in one day.
In one day.
And you could eat all the loganberries
that
you want.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it got to the point where you couldn't eat them anymore because, you know, the thorns on the bushes are so sharp, and when you're through, they're all in your palm, you know. But the big thing that really set it off was the fact that after we got through working, we were able to go down to the swimming hole that we made by damming up the creek, and we'd swim there until it's time to eat.
So, okay, now then when you went to elementary school, what was the most important thing that you remember of Commodore Stockton School?
Well, to me, the thing that was important was the fact that aside from Chumi Ho, which was my first experience with all Chinese, the fact that they were all Chinese and they spoke a lot of Chinese language, and I couldn't speak any. Because all I could speak was English, and a lot of times they thought I was Japanese because I couldn't speak the language. But I learned how to speak by ear. It's like singing, you know. So now whenever I get a chance, I like to pick up a word or two.
Did the children there ostracize you because you couldn't speak Chinese?
Well, yeah, sort of, but it wasn't violent in a way. They teased me more than anything else. The other thing that made it interesting was the fact that in those days I was attending the Chinese Baptist Church, the Sunday school, and was very active in their classes and all, and a lot of the students in the Sunday school also went to the grammar school. So I had a lot of young friends in those days. Yeah, it was a lot of fellowship. We'd play in the yard and, we'd play hopscotch and we'd play baseball when we could, you know.
Were the Caucasian teachers nice to the Chinese students, since they were all Chinese students?
Oh, yes. Very understanding. Very understanding. As a matter of fact, I would say they were overly so. They really took an interest, to the point where they became very dedicated, and some of them were very outstanding. All through school it had been that way, even when we went to junior high school. Now, junior high school...
Now, did you stay in their school until you graduated?
Yes, the Commodore. I graduated from Commodore.
Then you went on to...
And then I went on to junior high school, down to Francisco Junior High School, which was in North Beach, which is the Italian section.
Mm-hmm. What now, kind of students were
now
there?
Now there's a mixture primarily of Chinese and Italian. Italian, American-born Italian and American-born Chinese.
How did you get along with all those Italian students?
Everything was fine because in classes, because it was intellectual competition, so to speak. But once in a while we'd run into difficulty in physical education, especially in the summer, the late spring and early fall, because we went to the swimming pool, the public swimming pool, which was only a block and a half away, the North Beach playground, and we would fight for the diving board or fight for this, and once in a while we got a few little scrapes, fist fights, and that type of thing. But I have some very close friends that are now very prominent in business in San Francisco. Sebastian Passanese, he was a great fullback or quarterback for the USF.
What's the name again?
Sebastian Passanese. And Joseph Zerga, who was a big insurance man. A few that remember in my mind. The other thing was the...
But did you keep up with the friendship of these people that you met in junior
high school? No, after we left junior high school and went on to high school, we would see each other occasionally. If we went to the same high school, or were close by, but then other than that, it was just a matter of just hearing about them or inquiring about them when we get back to San Francisco. One of the interesting things was our art teacher, Miss Hedditch, and in those days, there was nothing on top of Telegraph Hill. The Coit Tower wasn't there. It was just dirt and sand and weeds. But we'd go up there for our art class, and she was the only teacher that would take us up there. And we would sketch the boats, and they'd be very badly, but it was fun. The other one was our civics teacher, Miss Riley, who was a very firm, a very stern, and a very precise teacher. And she actually was the one that got us very much interested in public affairs and trying to get Chinatown improved. Gave us a public consciousness about San Francisco Chinatown and the Chinese people in Chinatown.
Now, did you stay in that junior high until you graduated?
Yes, we graduated. The class graduated in 1930, and then we went on to high school.
Which high school
did you
go to?
I went to the High School of Commerce, which is no longer, the building is there, but the school is no longer there. It's now the Board of Education. High School of Commerce at the foot of Van Ness Avenue and Market Street, near Market Street.
What kind of students did you run into at senior high school?
Oh, they were good. Matter of fact, I don't know, all through my school years, I've always had good association and good fellowship with all my classmates. Because all through that time, I was more concerned about getting an education, and I was working as a houseboy for this company up at, I mean, this family up at Jones and Taylor, which is Knob Hill. But now, again, we had a teacher in, a science teacher, her name was Mrs. Robb in grammar school, and who was very influential in our thinking. Then we had a French teacher, her name was Miss Strawn. And the other teacher I remember very well is Miss Gaston Gay, who was our mathematics teacher. But to me it was something had been drilled into me, because the respect for the teachers is something that was ingrained. My father kept from the time I was young insisting that we respect and listen to the teachers. And as a result, I learned a lot and learned to respect them and appreciate the contributions they made.
Now, while in school, did you come across any problem because you are Chinese?
I never have. I never have. I think basically because I spoke English as well as anybody else, and I didn't speak with an accent, and I wasn't what they call Kam San Ting. But also, I think it was a matter of being out more outgoing. I mean, I had a type of personality that always got me into trouble.
Now, you spoke of the school job while you were going to high school. How long did you stay with that school job?
I stayed with this particular family up in the top of Mount Hill. Let's see, junior high school. Three, six, 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Then
through junior
happened?
High school, high school.
After you graduated from Commerce
then,
High, what happened?
When I graduated from Commerce, I worked one more year for the family, and I commuted to Berkeley. And then I started...
Where were you going then?
University of California.
See.
And we would take the ferry boat over and walk up the hill up to the campus. But in my sophomore year, and thereon, the next 3 years, I worked for different families in Berkeley doing the same thing. And working as a waiter during the lunch hour at a Chinese restaurant called the Canton Village, just to make a few extra cents.
So you worked all through your college years then?
Yes.
Now, what major, did you like to work and go to school at the same time? Or did you had to?
Well, it wasn't a question of having, it was a question of keeping up and the other thing that was important I like to mention is, when I was 12 years old, when I moved back to San Francisco, I joined the Boy Scouts, the Troop 3, which is now the oldest troop, I think, in the United States. And I got a lot of fellowship and made a lot of friends among the Scouts, as we were called, as we called ourselves. And in this particular group of boys, there were about 25 or 30, we stuck very close together. We went through all through high school, even though we went to different high schools. We would get together, and we all had ambitions. And I mean, became very ambitious. And a great part of it was due to the fact that we had a wonderful scoutmaster whose name was Ching Hua Lee.
Oh.
And he instilled a lot of the intellectual, the things Chinese, and the respect again for the elders and the Chinese culture. But out of this group, which I don't think there was but one or two that didn't go on through college, but we had some like five or six doctors, dentists, lawyers. Mostly all were professional men, became professional men, and a few prominent in business. And I was the only one that was a renegade. I became an actor.
Well, that's fine. to be a good actor is something, you know. let's see, back to your college days. What was your major in college?
My major was economics.
And did you come across any unpleasant feelings towards you because you were Chinese?
No, never.
And
I was fortunate, I think. Matter of fact, one thing I did do, I'm rather proud of, my last year in college, I organized and set up a international week on campus, which was sponsored by the Associated Students of the University of California and International House, and then the B'nai B'rith and the other groups. And it involved a whole week of activities, teas and lectures, and we wound it up with a big international pageant, dances and that type of thing, in the men's gymnasium, and a ball, international ball, on Saturday night, and Sitoff played, the band. That was the biggest thing I did in all the time as I grew up.
The biggest thing while you were at the university.
Yeah. And also, at that time, my last year in college, I was fortunate because I got a job working as a student secretary at International House on campus, and I didn't work as a houseboy. And the thing that made it possible, because I just got my room, all I got was my room and board, and some facilities for a certain amount of the food in the cafeteria. But the main source of income that I had was made during the summers of 1935 and 1936, because those were the years that I worked as an extra. I came to Los Angeles, I worked as an extra in motion pictures.
You mean you were still in college then?
Still in college.
Oh, I see.
And my junior year and my senior year.
All right, during the junior year, how were you discovered?
No, I wasn't, I came down here to, this is how it happened.
Oh.
I came down here to work for a man whose name was Tom Gubbins, who had the Asiatic Costume Company. And the reason I have to know, he was English. From Hong Kong, and he knew my father very well. And so my father recommended that he take me on to help him in the store and get me some work during the summer. So I worked in the store, and when a job came along as an extra, I would put that money in my pocket.
Oh, I see. That's
but he got my services in the store for free, like laundering the costumes and sweeping up the store and waiting on customers. But I slept in the store.
I see.
And then we had meals there too, Chinese style, you know, big dinner and lunch.
Where about was this store?
It was on Los Angeles Street by the plaza.
Los Angeles. Oh, I see.
Los Angeles Plaza.
Near Chinatown. Then.
It was that was Chinatown, old Chinatown. But it's all torn down now.
Yes.
It was all torn down to make room for the Union Station.
Is the man still alive?
No, he passed away quite a few years ago.
So,
but he spoke beautiful Chinese. And he would commandeer all the extras. He'd also worked on the shows like The Good Earth and Lost Horizon, where there all these hundreds of Chinese worked in the show. They'd gather them from all over the city to work. And he was the major domo.
So then after you finished college, what did you do? That was only a part-time job during college, but after you graduated from college.
Oh, then when I graduated from college, I got the screen test.
I see.
And
because by that time you knew somebody in the field anyway.
Well, I knew a little something about the business, but not much as an actor. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was selling chemicals at that time. You know, I had a job as a salesman. And I came down to Los Angeles and I saw this article in the paper. So I decided if I could sell 20th Century Fox, I would have it made as sales go. So I called out to the studio and came out there, and they decided to make a screen test.
You were going to Fox to sell chemicals originally, and then when they saw you, they wanted to give you a screen test.
Right.
I see. And then what else?
Then the test was successful. I was working on my first picture, Charlie Chan in Honolulu, the following Monday.
About what year was that?
That was 1938, the fall of 38.
And then from there?
From there, I was on a contract for 3 years, and then the war came along.
That's the Second World War.
Yeah, Second World War. And see, the Charlie Chan series in those days was a very popular series all over the world. And first they lost the European market when the war developed in Europe. Then they lost the South American market because it got very heavy. So as a result, they discontinued the series because they had lost the foreign market. Then they reactivated the series shortly before the war was over, and I went back into the series. And Sidney Toler died, who was number two Chan.
Oh, yes.
And they signed Roland Winters to do the series, who was the third Charlie Chan. And then now we did, I think, 4 shows, and then they discontinued the series because they saw the advent of television. So it...
So what year was that they decided to cut off the Charlie Chan series?
About 1947.
All right. We're going to stop right there because you have just finished college. But how about your own family? When did you get married at that time?
Oh, I got married right after the war. Sure, matter of fact, it was VJ Day. I got married in San Francisco.
Oh, but all right. During the war, let's go back to during the war. During the Second World War, what were you doing?
Oh, I was transferred from place to place, and I finally won.
Were you in the service?
Yes, I was in the service, and...
What year did you go in?
1943. 43? Early January 1943.
So what about your career? Where did you go?
Well, I'll see, very briefly, I was assigned to the First Motion Picture Unit. Then I was reassigned to the sub-depot. Material.
While you were in the war.
Yeah, during the war. Mm-hmm. And then I was reassigned. This covers a span of like 4 years. Then I was reassigned to the 22nd Field Hospital Unit, and they shipped out, and out of New York. So I wound up in New York, and I was assigned to the Transportation Corps. Then I wound up in the Wing Victory Show in New York City, which was an Army Air Force show. And then I applied for OCS, which is Officer Candidate School, while we were in New York playing at the 44th Street Theater during the show, the Wing Victory Show. And when we came out here to do the picture, after we had played in New York, we were in New York at the 44th Street Theater for about 6 or 7 months. Then when we came back out here to do the picture, I got my orders to go to Officer's Candidate School. So I left the show, and I went to Kelly Field. I went to San Antonio, Texas. And then from there, I was reassigned to the Harvard Graduate School of Business Administration, and I got my degree and certificate and my commission at the Harvard Graduate School. And assigned as a statistical control officer with the Air Transport Command at Memphis, Tennessee. So I wound up, my last year was at Memphis, Tennessee. Then I was reassigned to intelligence, and a unit, an officer detachment that was supposed to be assigned to Chennault in China. And I was assigned to the language school to learn how to speak Mandarin at the University of California, and
which one?
Berkeley. And then that's when I met my son's mother, and VJ Day came before we finished the course, so we decided, well, if we peacetime Army, we'd go over there and have an hour of fun, but we never made it over there, and but we did get married.
So when the war came to an end, of course, you were all through with the Army, right?
Right.
Okay, then you got married, and so you met your wife on the campus?
No, I met her in San Francisco. Oh. She was working for her uncle in a restaurant.
Would you like to have gone back to China to get married?
I don't think at that time my thoughts were so inclined. I would like to have made the trip all through the time. I mean, the reason for these transfers all through the years that I was in the service was trying to get into units that were going to China, so at least I would have that experience. But it never happened.
So you have how many children, Victor?
I have one boy.
One boy from this marriage.
His name is Brent. And he is now teaching in Cleveland Art Institute in Cleveland, Ohio, and he teaches glass design. He's in charge of the glass design program there. Very good. He's very talented. He has a degree, Master of Fine Arts from Alfred College in upstate New York, and he got his bachelor's degree in ceramics.
So you are now no longer married, is that right?
No, I haven't been married. I've been living the life of a bachelor since 53.
Do you enjoy that kind of life?
Well, good, yes, good, no. You know, it depends. The main thing is there's a lot of freedom, but then there are times when it's rather difficult because you don't know what to do yourself except watch television.